Good to see everybody tonight. It's good to be here. Appreciate this opportunity to share what God's put on my heart. I'm going to try to be a blessing, mind God, and help the church. Maybe the good Lord will give us something tonight that really help us. Amen. John chapter number 3. We'll begin reading with verse number 14. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That's Jesus, by the way. That's who he's talking about right there. And it says, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I'm glad it's forever. I'm glad I ain't got to worry about going out and thinking something ugly tomorrow morning and going to hell. Amen. Except for God, that's enough to shout about right there. I can't get a shouting match going tonight because I got a word I got to share with you. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen to this. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Y'all get a hold of that, amen. "But that the world through him might be saved." You may be seated tonight. The Lord will help me tonight. Trust me, I want to preach for a little while on this thought. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? You know, all during my life, I've testified many a time, probably preached no telling how many times, and said, "I don't know why in the world God won't save something like me." I've heard people testify. You probably have. You probably made that statement. You're trying to search for why God saved me. Is anybody here tonight that's saved that's never asked that question? Why would God save me? Well, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? And first of all, I'd like to say that right here in this verse of Scripture in John 3:16, it tells us, first of all, he saved us because he loved us. He saved us because he loved us. And I could stop right there and we could be shallow for the rest of this meeting tonight, the rest of this message, and we could have a good time in the Lord and we could worship and praise God and go to the house. But God don't intend for us to do that tonight. I'd like to say tonight that you should never get over the fact that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. A lot of people have gotten over that. And you know, you should never get over that. And that's not what I'm preaching tonight. But I'd say that there's a time in our lives where we ought to get past it. Amen? Amen. I mean, people nowadays, independent Baptists, we get to the point where we think that all we got to do now is just get saved, come in, fill the house of God, worship God, praise God, go to the house, pay our tithe, go to the house, come back again. We get to thinking that's what it's all about. But you know what? That's not the only reason God saved you tonight, because he loved you. And I want to share several points tonight. First of all, that he loved you. I want to say tonight that God saved you to level you. God, folks, tonight is a God of balance. He's a God of balance. You know, being saved for a long time now, and I guess y'all may look at me and think, well, you sure are ignorant to be saved a long time. But I have noticed several things. One thing that I've noticed, that so many saved people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And so many churches now are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good anymore. And you know, I don't want you to take me wrong right there. I want to take a verse of Scripture right here where I see here that even Jesus was, our Lord was a person of balance. It says Luke chapter number 2 verse 52, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with," listen to this, "with God and men." With God and men. Now, I'm not preaching a compromising gospel tonight. I'm preaching the Word of God. Our Lord and Savior said right here in the Word that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. We not just in this for God. We in this for mankind. God saved us to level us. You see, there's a thing in this thing called balance. God is a God of balance. And so many of us, and I'm afraid churches have gotten to that point where we're weighted so heavily one way that we're no good for God. We need balance. And then again, I'm not talking about compromise tonight. I'm talking about balance. Now, first of all, we need to learn how to balance health and heaven. Health in heaven. You know, I know that the Bible teaches us that our body is the temple of God and that we should take care of it. And you know, and we stop that with smoking and drinking, don't we? We stop right there, don't we? But, you know, God help us, we don't take care of our bodies. God help me. I'm sitting there tonight, 280 pounds, 30 pounds lighter than I was a year ago, but I'm still about 30 overweight. I ain't took too good a care of myself. I like to eat too much. Y'all might say, well, you're throwing off on me because I'm old. What? No, I'm talking about Dennis tonight. I ain't even preaching to you tonight. I'm just saying I need to balance my health with heaven. Amen. Listen to this, what it says about health right here. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, folks, we need to not only think about heaven, but we all think about our health, because if we're in bad health, we're no good for God. Now you tell me, if I didn't take care of myself, Brother Mike, how could I get up here and preach? If I wasn't in good physical and mental health, how could I take care of, how could I preach the Word of God? How could I be of service to anybody if I didn't take care of my health tonight? Now there's many ways that we can take care of our health. God's blessed us with brilliant minds, the doctors and the scientists, and they've came up with all kinds of medicines for us, and thank God for that. I know I'm one of the last people to go to a doctor. And God help me with that. I ought to go to the doctor. I ought to check myself. I ought to get my blood drawn twice a year, make sure everything's all right, take care of myself, and listen to what the doctor tells me. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something, folks. We ought to be careful that we don't take that thing too far. We ought to be careful. You know, we preach against pot and against cocaine and crack and all these meth and all these other drugs. And you know, we ought to. You know, it's dangerous. But there's just as many lives being ruined today with prescription drugs. There's just as many people's lives being ruined with prescription drugs. Now, I'm not preaching nobody here tonight. And my mother, bless her soul, she's in heaven tonight. But they put her on nerve pills 30 years ago. Then, Brother Mike, they put her on antidepressants. And then they put her on this and stuff for her stomach and that. And when my phone rang and it said, Mama, I didn't know which person I was going to get on the other end. I'll just be honest with you tonight. I was drawn up in a knot every time my phone rang because them doctors had my mother on so much medicine. She was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, I ain't preaching against your medicine tonight, but I'm telling you, you can take care of your health. Sometimes we're not being very healthy when we're too healthy. Amen. Sometimes maybe we all just watch ourselves, watch our diet a little bit, and not rely on medicine so much. So much. I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. I'm not telling you to go home and throw your pills away. You'll make another mess if you do that. But let me tell you something. If you ain't gonna got hooked on all that mess, y'all be careful about what you take. Do some research. We have internet now. If anybody here don't have internet or access to it at work or somewhere, study. Look it up. See if you really need all that garbage. And I'm not harping on you, but my Bible says here the wild prosper in health as well as in heaven. We need to balance those two things. You know, you can be, for all I know, the reason some of you said dead in church may be because you're so out of it when you get here. Well, I got my 10 bottles of pills out and took my dope before I come to church. I can't shout. Who are you? And don't, Brother Dennis, just don't love me. He knows I'm on all, I don't know who's on no medication. Let me tell you something. And it hurts, people. It hurts when you got a family member that don't, I mean, my goodness, you don't know what they're going to say to you. They'll accuse you of things and tell you things that you, my goodness, what in the world are you talking about? You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've had people before that's so hyped up on prescription drugs, I was afraid they was going to come walking in the house of God and say, let me tell y'all about Brother Dennis. Amen. Vicki and I have been hurt by family, immediate family, and it ain't them, it's the dope they're taking. I'd rather see them smoke a joint than be hyped up on pain pills. Y'all like that, did you? At least God grew that naturally, and I ain't promoting it tonight by no way. These folks walking around hooked on pain pills don't even know who they are. How are they going to worship God and be any count for God? God's got a balance. He wants you to take care of your health and heaven. Well, I'm saved now. I'll just take all the dope I want to. Y'all pray God take you off that mess, and y'all pray before you go to the doctor whether you even need that mess. I ain't saying y'all throw doctors away. I don't myself, and I'm going to say something about that in just a minute. But let me tell you something. This God in the Bible that healed, that Lord and Savior that healed people can still heal today. Did you know that? No man has the power. I'm sorry. That's gone. That was gone with the apostles. No man has the power to lay hand on you and heal you, but God does. Maybe God wants to heal you through a doctor. Wonderful. But maybe, just maybe, He'll heal you before you go spend all your money on that medication. And maybe it's just the devil that wants to get you hooked on that stuff where you'll be no good to God. I know folks think I'm old hillbilly against medicine. I am mostly. I don't take a whole lot of stuff and won't. I'm going to tell you something. I got me a shot this week. Praise God for medicine. I didn't know how bad I was hurt until I got that cortisone shot. My hips, my ankles, my back, my shoulders, killing me. Son, took that little old bitty shot that stung for a little bit, and I feel like a new man. Praise God for medicine. I hope that stuff ain't. It might be addictive. I feel pretty good in that. Woo! Hey, I'm going to enjoy it while I can. Maybe it'll last a month. Hallelujah. We ought to learn how to balance health and heaven. Folk, God said that He wants us to prosper. Even as you sow, prosper. You know, we need to learn how to balance faith and feet. Faith and feet. You're looking at a man that knows as good as anybody about the sovereignty of God. God's a sovereign God. We're not going to change God one iota. There's things we're not going to change in this book no matter what you do. I've got faith in God. I know my God can. I know He will if it's His will. Amen. God wants us to balance faith with feet. You know, we as independent Baptists, and I believe we believe the right way, You know, we believe that whomever God's going to send, He's going to send. But let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven that at the beginning of this Bible says He created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. He created out of nothing. And He could do every bit of His work out of nothing if He so desired. But if you'll study your Bible, you'll notice that God used men, women, boys, and girls to do His work. It's great to have faith in God and say, well, yeah, whatever's going to be is going to be. I've got a God that's in control. He's not lost. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God evermore, everlasting. Nothing concerns God. God's never had to think second about anything. But let me tell you something. God uses people. We need to put feet on our faith. We're waiting around for something to happen. God's wanting, y'all may not know this and you may not believe it, but God is wanting to turn another page in another chapter at Liberty Baptist Church. And we got to put feet on our faith for Him to be able to do that. I'm getting somewhere. He wants to balance that. You remember that. God wants to maintain balances. He wants to level you with His will and the Word. Let me tell you that God's will never go against His Word. I've had people say that, I believe it's God's will for this, that, and the other. Don't line up with the Word of God. That's not God's will. Don't let nobody ever tell you that God's will goes against this Word, because it does not. And it never will. We need to be less concerned, folk, about what other people think and more concerned about what God thinks. You know, if God's position on something is conservative, that ought to be our position. That's right. Whether it's political, church, home life, whatever it may be. If it's God's position, it ought to be your position if you're a Christian. That's right. Amen. I don't care if your uncle's running for office. If he goes against that book, you ought not vote for him. Amen. We all stand on what's right. I don't care if it's conservative. Let me tell you, if God's position on something is liberal, we ought not to be afraid to be liberal. I mean, folk, the Independent Baptist Church has gotten scared to death to go tell somebody about the love of Christ. Because we're so afraid they're going to call us a church of easy believism. And I just told you that God, He wants to put feet on our faith. He wants your feet. You remember the title of this message? Why me, Lord? Why did God save you? To get you up on your feet. To put some feet on your faith. He wants you to do something. I preached a message here last time I filled this pulpit. Was a message on a candle. And I thought about today, oh Lord. I prayed again. I said, God, I pray, Lord, that at the end of my life, when it's over with, that my candle's burned all the way to the bottom. And there's no wax left and there's no wick left, Lord. You may think, well, Brother Dennis, with you having a couples ministry, by the way, couples ministry is Saturday at 6:30. I meant to announce that a while ago. With that couples ministry and everything that you do with your children, your grandchildren, your business, surely your life's full. No, I'm looking for something else to do now. Matter of fact, probably fixing to start something else in my life. You know why? Brother Gerald, I don't want to look back and none of it wasted. I want God to use every bit of me up, every last drop of me. And that's not just for men of God. It's not just for preachers. It's for those that are saved. God saved you to use you. Listen to this tonight. Getting somewhere. I promise you I'm getting somewhere. We need to be open to both extremes. To both. I ain't saying we all compromise. I'm not preaching that at all. I'm preaching within the Word of God. We need to be open to things. Some of you tore your nerves up when Brother Ken was talking about knocking this wall out right here. Tore your nerves up. I don't know why some of you are so disturbed about losing your seat. Y'all be glad they built it. Now it's getting crowded again, at least on Sunday morning. It looks like you're going to lose it again, don't it? But yeah, you're going to frown because they won't knock that wall out. Well, if Moses says knock a wall out, let's get a hammers. You'll never go wrong following Moses. Now, you don't need to pay no attention to what I say or what Brother David says. Even Brother Mike, the associate pastor, don't pay no attention to Brother Kevin, as good as he is. Don't pay any attention to what he says. But if Brother Ken said let's knock the wall out, let's get to going, amen. Let's take a week off and get a few hammers out and knock a wall out. Y'all so scared, ain't you? Afraid to get liberal. Well, bless God, I don't want nobody to mess the storefront days. I've heard that. I don't miss storefront days. I'm looking forward to what God's going to want to do here. And you have to make a decision whether you want to be used or not, or are you just going to sit there and fill a spot in the pew. I'm just being honest tonight. I ain't being mean. It's just the truth. Some of you just like me, I'm so bullheaded. Somebody got to be playing with me. And just tell it like it is. Listen to this. Extremism is frequently the root cause. Number one, false doctrine. I've heard so many things preached in my lifetime, this foolishness. In good churches from good men. Extreme. While they'll grab something and run with an extreme of it. Y'all know as men preaching that thinks I'd meet, well, there's other reason they wouldn't want me to preach too, but this green shirt, they wouldn't like it. They say I look like an Easter egg. I guess I do, don't I? Green shirt and a purple tie, Brother Tim. You like that, don't you? Amen. Appreciate it, Brother Tim. They so extreme, they think if you ain't, I've heard preachers before say you can't preach and wear wire-rimmed glasses. I heard one preacher on TV. He swears the truth. He said, hey, some preachers won't let you preach in their church if your wife fixed canned biscuits. Now, that's stupid. Some of y'all may go along with all this. I got to say it. Oh, Lord, God done give me liberty. Some of y'all more concerned about what folk got on than y'all worried about who's going to hell and who ain't. Can anybody say amen right there? Son, you can wear shirts down to your fingertips and pants on the ground. And dresses under your back of your shoes and trip on them. And not be fit for nothing for God. Some of you need to check up, because if you've got Christ living in your heart, He loves sinners. And if He's living in your heart, there may be a time you don't have a love for sinners, but that love for sinners is going to come out in you. You don't go to caring about folk that's dying and going to hell if Christ is in there. I'd say that'd be a good way to check up and see if I've been saved or not, if I got that same kind of love Christ had. Amen? You see, He sat down and ate with sinners. He wasn't concerned what folks had on. I don't know what they wore back then, Brother Tim, but I guarantee you they didn't have on no purple tie, green shirt, and nice shoes and all that stuff. Folks more worried about what you wear. God help you tonight. If you that way, I hope it tears your nerves up. God help you tonight. Somebody come in the house of God, maybe ain't dressed quite like you are, and you can't even worship because it's done tore your nerves up. Whew, get right with God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I feel it. It ain't people. It's the devil that don't like it. Amen. Extremism. Extremism leads, as the main cause of false doctrine and discord and division. Let me tell you something. I've got a son that's out of church. He's got his feelings hurt. I'll be honest with you. That's why he's out. His wife got her feelings hurt. And that's why they're out of church. That ain't no good excuse, and it ain't no good reason. Lord God, if they come back, God, please don't let me see nobody look at them tattoos on her ankles. And you turn your nose up at her. I got news to you. I don't like you no more. I still love you, and I'll try my best to get over it, but I'm not going to like you too good. If that's all you worried about, I'm just being honest tonight. I ain't trying to be mean, hurt nobody's feelings tonight. Lord, ain't that perfect? Let me tell you something. A tattoo ain't no different from this gut hanging over my belt line. And a girl wearing a dress too short ain't no different from my gut hanging over me. Or me talking ugly about them slow pokes in front of me going to auction this week. Bless God, get you a job or get off the road. That's ugly, ain't it, Brother Jerry? The Bible says confession is good for the soul, Brother Wendell. Ain't no different. Now, I know how we ought to act, but let me tell you something. God will open up that wall and send all kind of folk in here. They may be dark and light and polka-dotted and hair up to here and or hair down to here. Just love on them. That's what Jesus did. Love on them. Lord, what am I going to do with my children? What? Love them. The Lord said the greatest commandment is that you love one another. If you want to handle any situation with a human being, just love them. Love them. Don't turn your nose up at them because they're different. Well, I heard they was drinking a beer or two. Well, just love on them. If I was out of this church, I'd be drinking a beer or two. I would. I ain't lying. I'd be playing a lot on that one-armed bandit thing. I ain't never done that. But I ain't going to lie to you. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to just throw a 50-cent thing blow up. Be my luck, I'd won $1 million and then have to tithe off of it. You may tell you how stupid all that stuff is, though. Ever since they put that lottery in Georgia before the news, it'll come on, it's that cash three thing. And I've been guessing it, Brother David, ever since they've been doing it, and I ain't got it right yet. I told Vicki, I said, when I get to where I can guess it, I'm going to play it. It won't be gambling then. I ain't hit it yet. I've hit two numbers, but I ain't hit three. Now, you tell me how you going to go put a dollar in that thing every day. You're going to throw away $7 a week. Seven times 50, $350 a year. You're going to throw it away. You ain't never going to guess then. You may just happen to hit it. The devil will probably let you hit it. That way you go playing the other stuff. Hey, some of y'all, you know why some of y'all sell up? And so why some of you are legalistic? You just mad because God made you quit doing something. I remember all them preachers preaching on that tobacco, and there I was hooked on Copenhagen. I said, man, if you just knew, I'd love to quit it. I got to have that like I got to have an hour. That's rough, man. That stuff, they say it's more addictive than cocaine. I believe it. It was tough to quit it. Then, Brother Tim, you know what I did? I went to eating. Gained about 50 pounds. Which one was worse? I have no idea. You see this extremism, this balance thing? Get a little balance about you. There's some good folk in here dipping Copenhagen. I ain't been able to quit yet. More power to you. If you can keep dipping, dip. I told Brother Kim, God let me. I'd buy me a candle on the way to the house tonight. You want me to tell you how powerful that stuff is? I think, has it been 96, Vicki? We were in the storefront building when I quit. That last can, I know it sounds gross, but I used to throw away a part of a can, and I tried it. I said, I just licked it out. I still remember that. Boy, my mouth's all watering. I remember that last dip, boy. I licked that can clean. I remember seeing it go in the trash can. Last dip I ever took. You know, I still have dreams at night, Brother Mike. And I'm dreaming I'm dipping. And I wake up and I think, have I started back dipping? That's how powerful it is. It's a powerful addiction. And I ain't preaching against that tonight. I'm just saying, folks, just because you quit something, don't you turn your nose up somebody else that ain't. Have a little love and compassion about you, a little grace about you. And hope they never get snubby nose like you are. I'd rather them dip than to think they're high and above everybody else. It might do... I'll not say that. I might as well say it. Brother Ken, he can give me a spanking. It'd do some of y'all good to do something every once in a while. You're stiff. I ain't promoting sin, but my goodness. Woo! Loosen up. Some of you just scared to do anything because you don't know what's sin, what ain't. Y'all study a little bit. Study the Word of God. Pray. Get next to God. You know what you can do, what you can't do. Some of you scared. You just ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to throw my television out, my radio out, and I ain't going to listen to 70s music no more. Hope y'all don't ever catch me working out at the gym and come up and grab my little earpiece off my... That's all I'm going to say about that. Amen. Balance. Listen, you know why God's balance is thing? Before you can lead somebody, you got to learn how to love somebody. You'll never lead without love. Man, you'll never be the leader of your home until you learn how to love. You see, a lot of us want to grab it. Yeah, bless God, I'm married now. I'm the man of this house. Glory to God. No, you ain't no leader till you've learned how to love. You see, because if you're a leader and you love people in the right way, they have no problem. They'll just follow you. You see, you automatically become a leader. And I'm going to tell you something. God never puts anybody into a leadership position unless He knows they know how to love people. You see, some of you desire to be a leader, but you first got to learn how to love people. You know, you'll never be able to learn until you listen. Some folks, they won't learn. Boy, I won't know more about God, but they won't listen. They come to church Wednesday night. Brother Mike done studied 5-6 hours. Come up with something. Come in here tired, sleepy. Oh, man. Oh, man, I dread work tomorrow. Oh, Lord have mercy. I wonder who's going to get kicked off on American Idol tonight. And then you'll go out there and have a problem and say, well, I wish I just knew more about the Lord. I wish I just knew more about how to handle these children. God done gave it to you on a Wednesday night. You want to learn, you got to listen. See, God's got a balance. You know what? If you want to be a healer, first of all, you got to hurt. God will never use you until you've hurt somewhere. If you want to know how God intends to use you, look at where you've been cut. How you've been cut. God is more likely going to use you where you've been injured and where you've been hurt. I thank God tonight. I thank God that one of my gifts is not counseling with people that's lost their children. You see, Brother Mike, I've never been there. I've never hurt there, so I can't help heal anybody that's lost their children. I can't go there. I thank God I don't have to. I hope I never have to. But these people out there that's lost their children, maybe some in here that's lost children or grandchildren, God probably will use you to heal someone else that's lost their children or grandchildren. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you following me tonight? You see, what we're trying to say is, why me, Lord? Why did God save me? One more thing on the balance thing. To be a blessing, you've got to first be broken. You've got to first be broken. I've never seen anybody fit for anything in the ministry of the Lord before they were broken. But when the breakings come, you can't turn around and blame everybody. Sometimes you just got to take it. Sometimes you just got to, I will never forget Brother Randy. Brother Randy's a great teacher. We got so many good teachers in here, and Brother Adam, it's just amazing. Brother Randy, I would dare to say that because God used you to make a statement one time when you were teaching that I'm still here at this church. You said, go on your last orders. God used that man to speak that word, and it went down into my heart. And it's the reason I'm still at this church. I'm just being honest tonight. I'm not lying. You know, oh, Lord, y'all get so, my goodness. You see? To be a blessing, you got to first be broken. Listen to this. God, why me, Lord? Why did God save me? Because He loved you and to level you. The next thing, to labor. That's really where I'm building up to with this thing. To labor. Listen. Sometimes we got to quit wondering, and it's time to quit wondering and go to work. Don't never lose the joy that God saved you. Don't never lose the worship. Don't never lose the praise. But some of us need to step aside the wonder for a little bit and go to work. You see, God saved you for you to labor. And Brother Mike, church, I mean, you grew up in church to believe that the man behind the pulpit did everything, him or his family, or the deacons and their family. God saved you for you to work. Now listen to this. I want to do a little analogy right here right quick. You know, First Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 11, it says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. If you've got something to write on, I'd have to read the whole chapter, Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to study that to go along with this point. For the sake of time, I'll be here to 9 o'clock if I read that, because I know what'll happen. Listen, there's folk out there that there's too many Americans now that want paychecks. They don't want a job. I mean, I saw on the. I guess folks that watch the news, you know that Romney is running for president on the Republican Party. In my opinion, he's about that much better than what we got. But he said something on the news last night. I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty good. This girl asked him, said, what you going to do about giving me some free birth control? He said, if you want that stuff you ain't got to pay for, you need to vote for the other ones. There's too many people looking for a paycheck and not a job. Brother Mike, there's too many people in the church house. They done got saved. They got them a little position with the Lord now, but they don't want to do nothing. All I got to do is just show up. Well, Brother Ken, Brother Mike would be happy if I just filled my little old nest right here. And I'm here. And that's good. I mean, I'm sure that's very encouraging to a preacher for you to be here. Don't go home and, my goodness, Sunday morning, Brother Ken got 10 people to preach to. That's going to be a mess. Ain't that right, Sister Renee? Bless her heart. Oh, Lord. Good for you to be here. Let me tell you something. We got too many people. We got a world that's kind of, we got elitist over here, and we got entitledist over here. They're looking for entitlements. Well, I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to that. They told on the news last night, I was going to try to remember it, but a huge percentage of America is living off of entitlement. Brother Mike, a huge percentage of the church is living off entitlement. Did you know my Bible says that if a man don't work, that he shouldn't eat? Sounds mean and cruel, don't it? Boy, I tell you, I know one party wouldn't like if you preached that. It says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I wonder, you ever heard folks say, well, I've been going to church down there for 2 years and I ain't been fed yet. Did all y'all get that? Some of y'all ain't listening. You think about your TV show. I ain't been fed yet. Been going there at Liberty Baptist for 2 years. The Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Might be a good reason you ain't getting nothing to eat because you ain't working. Might be y'all pray and say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to be a service? One word that scares independent Baptists to death is a thing called ministry. Oh, you mentioned ministry. Oh, you don't got that newfangled church. No, church ought to be all about ministry. That's what it is. It is a ministry. It's a living organism, and it's got living parts that y'all be doing something to help somebody else. You ought to find out where you can be a service to. I mean, I look around this place, I thought about this week of all the different people in here that's got different ministries. There's something for you to do. You want a ticket to heaven or you want a job? Oh, this word ministry scares people down. You know what some folks think a ministry is? Being a CSI. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be the church CSI. The church sinner investigator. I'm going to look around and judge everybody. I can tell you why they ain't having it, because they just ain't right with God. Well, there ain't no way I'd let my kids do that. My kids wouldn't, I would never get, CSI, that's not a ministry, by the way. Ministry ought to be a ministry of encouragement. You know, you say, let me read this verse of scripture. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, I'm fixing to finish, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You know what? At work, I've noticed that if people would just go to work, they'll quit noticing everybody else's mistakes. I've been an employer for 27 years, and I have noticed one thing, that when one of my employees starts coming to me and telling me what another one's doing or ain't doing, it means they ain't working. They telling on the self. You see, some of y'all think you're really just filling Brother Ken in. Brother Ken, did you know what Brother Dennis is doing? Brother Ken, I just got to talk to you about Brother Dennis. Come here. We really got to sit down and talk about Brother Dennis. All you're doing is telling Brother Ken that you ain't doing nothing. You telling on yourself. You telling that you ain't nothing but a busybody. All you concerned about what some... You know, if you go to work, you ain't going to notice what nobody else is doing. It's good advice for the workplace and the house of God, ain't it? I'd say that fits pretty good, wouldn't y'all? Amen. I ain't too mean tonight, am I? Listen, don't be a busybody. Go to work. God saved you to love you, to level you, to labor. God saved you to load you. Don't forget Brother Tommy standing and reading this verse of Scripture, and God really put it in my heart. I'm going to read it again tonight, Psalm 68:19. I've got about 5 minutes and I'm done, I promise you. I know y'all tired, I am too. The Bible says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." God saved you to load you. God saved you where He could load you and fill you up with blessings. And Brother Tommy put it so beautiful the other day. He'll overfill you where it'll flow over and spill out on somebody else. You see, God saved you to load you. And the last thing tonight, God saved you for you to laud Him. Romans 15:1 says, "And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud Him, all you people." This word laud means to praise in words, and it means to celebrate. You see, our problem is in the church house, this is in a nutshell what's wrong with our churches. This is what's wrong with our church right here. God saved us, and we figured out God saved us because He loved us, and boy, we ain't got no problem singing about that. I heard folks getting excited tonight when they'd sing the songs about what God done for us. And then God load us. Boy, we want to jump from that love to that load and to that laud, you see. We just like a bunch of little kindergartners. And if we don't watch it, Brother Adam, we'll be kindergartners from now on at Liberty Baptist Church. Well, ain't nothing wrong with it now. We'll come in and we'll think about how God loved us. And boy, God will give us blessings. And we'll come in here and we'll laud Him. And ain't nothing wrong with that, but that's some things in between that we need to remember. God wants to level you, and God expects you to labor. We've left that out. Liberty Baptist Church, we need to go to work. We need to get to work. I won't forget Brother Jonathan preaching that message on a Sunday night. He said, "Just keep on rowing. Keep on rowing. Ain't nothing happening. Just row. Just row. Just keep on working." Why me, Lord? That's why God saved you right there tonight. Brother Mike, I'm done.